We're back. And you know, wait. Before you say a word, go ahead. Tell your joke. What were you going to say?
What?
You obviously had something witty to say, so go ahead.
No. What are you talking about?
I just wanted to say before we do anything else.
Okay, bad joke. What do you call a fish with two knees?
What, Rick? What do you call a fish with two knees?
A two-knee fish.
Oh my God. No, I just wanted to point out that since I was being given a hard time in the Q&A about the fact that you only tie up like 2 minutes into break time, and I take up like the whole thing, you guys got an extended break there.
So, did they?
They did.
Oh, you got time back.
We got time back.
Nice. Very nice. We are here for the final module of the 417 Jumpstart, talking about implementing Active Directory Federation services. And this one is more of an architectural discussion, let's just say, about the essentials of what you need to know about what it is and basically how it works and what the process is. But this essentially is, you know, claims-based authentication, but it's being done, staking a claim for who you are, federated to somebody outside of your organization to basically say, hey, I know who you are, and you are who you say you are, therefore I'll grant you access to my web-based interface in simple terms. Where are we going with this? Want to flip over the slides there for me there, Jeff, if you could, please, for the implementing AD Federation services. Last module of the day. We are going to be having the bonus content, so stick around at the end of this one here for the bonus content, talking about certification planning and prepping to be ready to write different certification exams, in this case the 417. We're going to be looking here at what is ADFS. ADFS, I can even cut to the chase even very simply. ADFS version 2.1 basically,
I know what it is.
Is been implemented in
Active Directory Federation Services.
You got it.
All right.
ADFS 2.1 is essentially the same as 2.0. The difference is it's now inbox.
No.
So as before.
No, it's 0.1, not 0.0. That's the difference.
Yes. But it's inbox and running on server 2012 as opposed to being out of box and had to be a separate download to be able to implement. Is the major change that exists now with Federation services. With Identity Federation, very simply, it's a matter of having some way of distributed identification of individual users for the purposes of authentication. I mean, if you think about it, I don't necessarily want to grant access to my Active Directory to every person that I'm having a business relationship with for the purposes of authenticating my users to their database, as an example. So instead, we can have an agreement made between our two organizations and Federated Space to basically say, hey, I am trusting that you are doing your job, and therefore anyone you authenticate and claim they are who they say they are, I'm going to take that as being good, and then you can then use that as your own internal properties, not for purposes of doing ACLs or for doing other security-related things on individual file shares, but for the purposes of, for instance, access to web-based applications and other web services, that sort of stuff. It allows organizations to retain control of their users and of their group accounts and not have to simply share these secrets out with individual people. And the whole concept behind claims-based identity really is simply a matter of you've got your identity provider and your application provider, and you've got your individual client that is down in the identity provider space that's looking to be able to have access to resources. So they need to have some way of exchanging a token from who they are, from someone they trust in their own locale, their own region, with an outgoing claim that's going to go in and across the net to this application provider that's then going to be able to say, yes, okay, I believe who you say you are. Therefore, we have an existing relationship with that company. We will provide you access to the following web-based resources from our web services environment. So basically, the security token or incoming claims have to go into that individual application provider. Now, for this to work, basically, there's a bunch of different industry standards that have to be implemented. Generally speaking, you're going to end up seeing some of the acronyms come up with XAML or XML, using SOAP as a way of being able to do exchanges of information. WSDLs, UDDIs. UDDIs are basically databases or registrations of what web services are going to be there to be able to provide services out to individual users. They define the security specifications that are going to be used by the Identity and Federation Systems, otherwise known as WS-STAR. And also, from a SAML perspective, the ability to go through and to exchange those claims between federated partners using SAML conversations back and forth. So it's a web series of standards. We're playing inside the standard space. We now have the ability to, with you installing and working with Federation services, set up and exchange information with the appropriate other sides of that conversation to do your federated space with to grant access to their resource, your resources. So the Active Directory Federation service includes the following services. Basically, the ability to do single sign-on. Not necessarily automatic sign-on through, but simply one set of credentials to sign-on that can go through the web to be able to exchange information with different partners. It gives you the ability to interoperate with a variety of different types of web services. This is not a Microsoft standard we're talking about here. This is us playing well with others that are out there. So basically, individual application developers can go off and to use these standard conversations to talk to ADFS, to talk to the Active Directory, basically using standard calls. And it also is able to support both passive and smart clients. That's more specifically with regards to mobile devices and that sort of stuff, basically more than just simply, you know, here I am and that's it. More iterative queries can be taking place. It's extensible. You're able to go off and expand upon it based on what you're going to be revealing with your Federation space, and also has some enhanced security. Works with a variety of different vendors as far as SAML is concerned. For smart clients, different vendors, including IBM, Obelix, Open Networks, RSA, that sort of stuff, they all have their own way of working with these industry standards to exchange information back and forth. Now, for a single service organization, single sign-on desired environment for an organization, again, you've got your external client that's out there, the client computer, it's outside of your corporate network, it needs to access a web-based application on the inside on the web server, for your environment. But this is one of your clients that's going to be working here. Basically, he's going to go off and make that request with an HTTPS request to that individual web server. That web server is then going to basically receive that request, see that it's a client computer, does not currently have a valid claim. The web server is going to redirect that back to the client computer to say, go and talk to the appropriate Federation service proxy. That Federation service proxy is then going to be contacted by the client again through HTTPS. Depending on the scenario, the Federation service proxy is going to be able to prompt the user to authenticate, or it may take its own credentials if it has the ability to pass credentials across the web. Typically, it wouldn't. So this is where you basically would have your sign-in page, sort of like an OAuth type thing, that basically has your list, your domain slash username that the user would be comfortable being able to see. But the important thing here is that you're sharing this with your own resources, your own server. So that's your ability to go off and to simply authenticate that individual box. Federation service proxy basically is going to go on and pass that request inside to the Federation services server, the ADFS server. That ADFS server is then going to go in and talk to and query the Active Directory domain controller to basically authenticate this user. Are they correct? Are they not correct? The authentication is going to come back and be successful. It's going to basically generate and build up that information that the Federation server is going to need to use to generate that claim. The authentication basically gets passed back from the server down to the proxy down to that client. So now that client has a fully identified, populated claim that can now go and present back to that web service. And then that server is then going to go in and present the token back to the web server. The web server is going to receive it, validate that it's accessed, and then actually give that user access to that data. Very long, roundabout way of simply saying, hey, I am me, this is my user ID and password, but I'm not going to be opening up all sorts of firewall ports and all sorts of different configurations to allow authentication with traditional Active Directory, Kerberos tickets, and that sort of stuff you normally have behind the firewall taking place through the firewall. Instead, you're now using these industry standards ways of being able to go off and talk to an identity person, Active Directory, through a Federation server, and then the web server challenging you back and telling you, here's the path you have to go off and follow to be able to get there. That's the basic understanding of how to do a single sign-on for Active Directory Federation services. Very detailed as far as where it's going, where the flow is going, but that's the simplest way you can take a look at from a single sign-on kind of federation. Now, when you go to the next level and do a business-to-business organization, so this is basically where you have two businesses, Trey Research and ADATUM, going through. Basically, in this case, you've got an internal client computer at Trey Research is going to basically go off and hit the partner relationship, already pre-established federation web server. That guy there is, again, going to go and pass that guy back saying, hey, you don't happen to have a appropriate claim for me, valid token, so basically go off and get the right information for me, please. The client's then going to go off and then contact the Federation resource server under ADATUM to basically go off and say, you know, where is the home realm that I should be going and getting this information from? That computer there is going to say, you got to actually go back and talk to your own internal account Federation server, if you could please, with the Federation Trust. The client computer then going to be redirected to the Federation Trust server that's inside its own home realm, its own behind the firewall environment. The client sends that request to the Trey Research Federation server. The client is then going to go in and logged onto the domain already. So basically, it's going to build that credentials on the user's behalf, pass that information back to the Federation server. The domain controller then is going to go and pass that back. And now that's going to go back and get passed over to the client. The client now has a full claim. That claim can then be passed over to the appropriate web server for access to resources. In this case, it goes back with the results and then passed back over the web server. And then you now have access to those resources. Slightly more complicated, but the good thing here is that you've got the understanding that you've got the Federation server at ADATUM already has a pre-existing relationship that has been brokered between those two organizations. And that's simply part of the configuration of your Active Directory Federation services for which realms that you're going to be going off and trusting. The first scenario was simply you're accessing your own web server with your own credentials, but you don't want to pass the NT credentials or the Active Directory credentials. That uses Federation to be able to do that. And then the second organization is now going off and involving two separate orgs and then still using that access token to get access to the information. Last scenario that we've got is your single sign-on with an online service. And this is basically similar in concept for what's going to be going on. Again, the client opens up a web browser to, for this case, Exchange Online or Office 365. The web server is then going to go up and say, okay, you don't have a claim. Please go off and talk to the appropriate guy for the claim. You're going to go off and talk to this partner organization, which is Microsoft Exchange Online Hosting, the Federation server. He's going to go back and say, we already have an agreement talking with your guy for the Federation server. Go off and talk to your Federation server, which will, again, go off and talk to your Active Directory, authenticate you, say, yes, that is correct. You then have the token being built for you, passed back to you. You can then go back and validate that with the online Federation server for Office for Exchange Online. It then goes back and passes that to you saying, yep, it's good. And then you then have access to Outlook Web App for the application server that's out there. All this is taking place using standard protocols that are part of Active Directory Federation services. It's authentication, right? It's there. How is this different than what we did in 2008 R2?
Not very.
It is the exact same, same protocols, same industry standards. The difference is it's now inbox as opposed to a separate download.
Easy peasy.
You got it, man. The prerequisites to be able to use this, basically you have to have, TCP/IP network connectivity. I think everyone knows how to set that up. You have to have directory services up and running. The attribute stores, I guess the other thing that's kind of new because it now is inbox, obviously it's going to default to using for attribute stores the Active Directory as opposed to a separate database for stuff. You have to have a working DNS to be able to find the different resource records that are registered for the different Federation services. And you have to have compatible operating systems. So, you know, you have to be able to be running with an operating system that can generate that claim and communicate with them. Now, PKI and certificate requirements requires that you happen to have a certificate infrastructure in place for the purposes of your internal collaboration. However, normally because this type of scenario is going to be run publicly with external clients coming and talking to you and then being able to show this, you're probably going to want to be using public-based certificates that are going to be stored as opposed to locally implemented one, because each Federation service has to trust the other's certificate authority from where it was issued, so it's going to be obviously easier to do that automatically using public certificates as opposed to your own private issued certificates and then having to import them and stuff like that. The different roles, you've got your claims provider Federation server, basically authenticates your internal people. It issues your signed tokens containing the user claims. The relaying party Federation server simply is going to be consuming those tokens to validate that they're okay and also issues tokens for your specific application access. And finally, the Federation server proxy is in the perimeter environment, which simply gives you a layer of security from preventing having your domain controllers and your Federation servers in your perimeter space. It talks to the proxy instead to be able to have access to it. Now, with ADFS claims, basically, it gives you a built-in set of claims that you can go off and use. It allows you to create custom claims specific to your web service that you want to be able to use. However, each claim has to have its own unique URI, which is URI is Universal Resource. Of course, I'm blanking on the acronym now.
I?
Universal Resource I. If, basically, each claim has to have its own unique identifier. How's that? Universal
Idiot.
Resource Identifier?
Idiot.
So. That is stored inside the catalog, which is called UDDI, which is published by the application provider that's basically requesting these different services. So basically, each claim has to have its own unique identifier. Claims can be received from the attribute store. They can be calculated based on retrieved values. They can also be transformed and altered into alternate values based on the logic that you're using to build these individual claims. And then claim rules define how claims are sent and consumed by the Federation servers, basically their acceptance. And they can basically deal with issuing rules for transformation of those issuances and those creations of them, authorizations, and also delegating authorization out to other realms to be able to go off and to use stuff. Claims provider trusts are configured and available for use by the Federation server. It identifies which claim provider and configures those claims based on what the claim provider is saying that claim provider happens to be, in this case, Active Directory. In a single org scenario, the claims provider trust is called the Active Directory, and that's where the information is built by those claims. Additional claims can also be provided by simply and trusting these different individuals during the setup of ADFS by either importing new Federation metadata that you received from the trusting party, by importing a configuration file specifically given to you by a particular Federation party that you have there, or you can manually configure the trust to be able to do it. So again, this is when you want to establish a business-to-business relationship between your two different organizations. A relaying party trust basically is configured on the claims provider Federation server, configured as claims rules in a single organization scenario. Basically, the relaying party simply goes in and defines your connection to your internal application. You basically can do the exact same thing by importing metadata, by importing a configuration file, or manually configuration of those things. Again, that's done internally. And then an account partner is where you want to have the business-to-business relationship. That requires you to basically make sure that you have a physical topology between those two that you can go off and understand, connect up to, and configure in a secure fashion. That you have a attribute store you're going to be storing these attributes in to be able to identify what claims you are going to accept and deny. How to configure that relaying party trust for security between those two different systems, what certificate you're going to be using, description to basically describe it for the administration console, and also how to prepare those computers for Federation. Wrapping these guys up a little bit here on the resource partner, simply a matter of it relays information back and forth in a B2B situation. You've got to, again, implement the physical topology, make sure you've got the attribute store it's going to be using, and then configure your claims provider's trust. The main thing I'm trying to get at with Federation is industry standard, something you're going to be using specifically for your web-based applications, enabling single sign-on applications in your environment. The great thing I like about this as an administrator that uses this, if I was to use this, if I'm going to be federating my identity with an online service, like, for instance, Office 365 as an example, they have a wizard. I simply follow the steps in the online sites and then set up a relationship with the online service to be able to set this up. If you're going to be doing this from an actual B2B scenario where you're talking to partners, they have their own specific applications that you want to go in and interface with, that requires a lot more conversation between the web and dev guys. You're just there as the guy that says, okay, what is the claim you're looking for? Do we have the appropriate attributes mapped, and can we go from there? Last little bit here for claims rules for business to business. Orgs and organization scenarios may require some complex claims rules, goes without saying. Your claims rules can basically be sent back and forth with different types of templates between your different systems, and it gets into a fun organization state, which is quite good. And you know what? That's it, man. Like I've covered in a short time the essentials for what you need to know about Federation services. It's in the box. It's easy if you understand what you're trying to do with Federation services, which basically is make a relationship with an external entity that allows you to say, hey, this is me, and this was provided to me by my domain controller, which you already have an existing relationship with, to be able to identify who you are to access a resource. You've negotiated the access to the resource and the attributes you're trying to use with that web developer, that partner, that's decided that application.
Take a breath.
My brain is mush.
Take a breath.
I need a drink of water.
Well, real quick, Jeff, before we wrap things up, could you please put my monitor here up on the screen? I know this has been a big issue for the last couple days. So for anyone who's interested,
you can take that one side.
Right. So Rick can confirm that this is the hat we're looking at. Although I haven't seen that strap. Do you have the strap on?
No, see, the strap is something you can use to keep the hat on in high wind situations.
But is there a strap?
I have tested that strap, sticking my head out of the top of my Jeep at 140 kilometers an hour on a private road.
Okay, wait.
And it stays on.
So for those of us stupid Americans, how many miles per hour is that?
140 miles an hour is about 80. 140 kilometers an hour is about 80 miles an hour.
80 miles an hour. 80 miles. So you do have the strap.
I don't wear it.
You just don't wear it.
No, it's the hat is snug enough and molded and melded to my head.
Which, by the way, go ahead and keep that on the screen for next time. And you know, I guess you guys can tell me. I'm thinking this is the one I'm bringing for next time.
The aviator hat.
The aviator hat.
Nice.
This is the one I want this one.
Nice. I love it.
Okay, so anyway.
With that,
yes.
Fade to black. We'll be back with more information.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back like in a minute.
Thank you for joining us for this particular Jumpstart. Really appreciate you guys spending time with us. It's been a lot of fun, in case you haven't figured that out. If you haven't done so already and you're in full screen mode, please take the time to fill out that eval form at the bottom for satisfaction. Hopefully you enjoyed this. We'll be back after the quick little short break and a pause. It's really going to be really short.
Like
to talk about some additional resources you can use to prepare for the 714 exam. Thanks a lot, everybody.
714? 417.
714 is my dyslexia.
Yes. Okay.
Sorry.